All right. If you will, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. It is a little warm up here, isn't it? I'm beginning to think the sweater vest was a bad idea. You know, we haven't had a whole lot in the way of a teaching or whatnot from the scriptures concerning Jesus' birth this time of year. And, you know, we don't have to. It's not something we must do. But sometimes it's good to look at some of these prophecies and look at some of the things that are surrounding the birth of Jesus, because sometimes there are some fascinating things that are talked about here. In Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah is talking and going to King Ahaz, the king of the southern kingdom of Judah. And he is facing a problem. He's got both Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel coming after him. He is wondering what he's going to do about this. Well, let's take a look in Isaiah chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to make war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told to the house of David, saying, Syria's forces are deployed in Ephraim. So his heart and the heart of his people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take heed and be quiet. Do not fear or be faint-hearted for these two stubs of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have plotted evil against you, saying, let us go up to Judah and trouble it, and let us make a gap in its wall for ourselves, and set a king over them, the son of Tabel. And then he goes on to a prophecy from the Lord, which we will look at in a second. If you're familiar with who King Ahaz was, if you're not familiar with him, jump over to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. We're not going to read that now, but man, he was not a good king. He was a terrible king, to the extent where he would even have children pass through the fire. He was one who was for child sacrifice. And God was like, no, we're putting a stop to this. And so he allowed Israel to team up with Syria to come up against Judah at this time. And we see in that particular chapter exactly what happened at this time. But you know, there's still something. You know, did you catch Isaiah 7, verse 3? God told him to bring Shear-Jashub. And I have a footnote here as to the meaning of what that of his son's name. And that meaning is, a remnant shall return. Even the very name of Isaiah's son. In fact, Isaiah has several sons that have special names with certain meanings. But in this case, it has a certain meaning in the sense that, yes, you're going to have all these struggles, but a remnant shall return. There will be a few who remain faithful, even if you are not among them, King Ahaz. And then here's the prophecy that God gives to Ahaz. In verse 7, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be broken, so that it will not be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Now, Pekah was one of the last few kings of the northern kingdom before the Assyrians, not the Syrians, but the Assyrians come down and conquer the northern kingdom. So this did come to pass. Less than 65 years, but hey, the prophecy said within 65 years. So this is certainly something that took place. And also, Assyria also conquered Syria, which is part of this prophecy as well, or at least that's how it was fulfilled. He continues, Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it, either in the depth or in the height above." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord." That tickles me a little bit. Here's the response that Isaiah gives from the Lord. "Hear now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also?" That gives me a little bit of a chuckle. You remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and he said that it was wrong to tempt the Lord God or to test him? And that's true. That is found in the law. That is one of the commands that's found here. But of all the terrible things Ahaz has done, he stops here. I have sacrificed children to false gods, but I'm not going to test the Lord. Good sir, you've been testing him this whole time. That's why this is happening to you. But this is different, of course, in the sense that he is being asked specifically for the sign. And the sign is this, we see in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Curds and honey he shall eat, and he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah." Now, later on, we see that Hezekiah, a righteous king in the south, had been able to, through the power of God, hold back the Assyrians. But we do see that both of these kingdoms remained desolate. And it wasn't until we see that they return, a remnant shall return. You see that little hint there? That this virgin conceived. Now, a lot of people will say, "Oh, that's not really what it says." Well, what we see in the New Testament when this passage is quoted is the word for virgin. This is what he meant. A virgin shall conceive, someone who has not known a man. And we see this when Mary conceives. Well, how do we know she was a virgin? An angel told him. Well, to make sure about that anyway, of course she knew she was a virgin. But how does the rest of us know? An angel told Joseph, her betrothed. I can think of no stronger endorsement than that of an angel from God. So, we see that this is 700 BC, roughly, a little bit before. So 700 years before Jesus comes, this prophecy is given. And this is just one of the prophecies. When we look at all of them, and I think there's about 200 or so prophecies, did you know that if just 6 prophecies of the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus, that it would be as if you were taking a bed of needles the size of Texas, 2 feet deep, and you picked out one? That's only if 6 prophecies were fulfilled. You know, that's further proof that this is the Word of God. That this fulfilled prophecy, 200, shows that God had this planned out so long ago. That a virgin shall conceive and send his only begotten Son and be Emmanuel, be God with us. You know, he was never called Emmanuel, not directly, but he is understood to be God with us, and certainly he was. If you need to give your life over to Emmanuel, to God with us, to our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you do. If you have any doubts as to the veracity of the truthfulness of the Word of God, hopefully that has been dealt with today, at least in part. And I pray that if you need to obey the gospel and put him on in baptism, that you do so this evening. If you need to make things right with God, turn your life back over to him. Here is your chance. Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.